Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul and it's good to have you here with us today. This is a location where we talk about the real issues that men deal with on a daily basis. We're all about, of course, being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, in offering both hope and help for men. God's Word states, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's all about one man talking to another man. It's all about being able to know that we're not alone. It's all about saying that, hey, I'm tired of living the way I've been living in this arena, in this secret that's been taking place in my life for a while, and saying, hey, I give up, don't know what to do. Man, I heard about Band of Brothers Radio. Maybe I'll listen to it. So I'm glad that you're here today, brother. I am in the studio today with Steve. Good to have you here this morning, brother.
Good morning, Raul.
All right. Yeah, just so that you guys know that we've been in the book of James, and we may just sort of come close to wrapping her up today, or wrapping him up today. But we're not really going to wrap him up. We're just going to disclose even more. But we're going to, that's our main topic. In the meantime, we like to always get to that place of answering emails that you send to us. Steve's got a handful of those emails, and I think you probably picked one out. I don't have a clue which one you picked.
Well, I did pick one out, Raul, and as always, it's challenging to try to decide which one to address each morning as we look these over, and hopefully we get a chance to address them all at some particular point. But I feel directed by the Holy Spirit that this is the subject for this morning. Now, I'm going to read this email, and then I'm going to ask you to respond to it, and I'm going to ask our listeners to also respond what they would say to this brother in this situation. Mm-hmm. The challenge here is I don't want you to respond to the wife. Mm-hmm. I want you to respond to the husband, because it would be easy to talk about what the wife should do or shouldn't do, but that's not the underlying issue. Okay. This is a man who's crying out for some help and some hope. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to speak to him this morning, not to his wife.
Okay.
Those are the boundaries. nothing like healthy boundaries to
Absolutely.
Make relationships work.
Absolutely.
So your relationship and my relationship will work great this morning because we're setting the boundaries.
There we go.
Okay. This brother writes, "My wife has confessed to me that she has a crush on our pastor. She says she feels bad about it, but thought I should know. When I asked what she is attracted to, she says his love for God. I go to church with her every week, and we pray at the dinner table every night. What am I supposed to do? Sign up for a seminary school? Frankly, I am stunned by this information. I never saw this coming, and I feel rather stupid. Should we move to another church right away? Our kids would have to make new friends, but I don't know what else to do. Do you have any thoughts for me?" Now remember, we're speaking to the man and not to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So if this brother came to you this morning and he was sitting in my chair where I'm sitting and he looked across the desk, mm-hmm, and said, "Brother Raul, I'm stunned. What do I do with this?" What would you say to him?
Hmm. I'd say, first, praise God that you get this opportunity of being able to overcome this challenge. You're going to be sharpened and a stronger warrior for Christ as a result of walking through this. Nothing happens by mistake in God's world. And that you receive this information, I certainly can relate with this in a sense. It's something that I had, not that I'm proud of, I had this similar situation in a previous marriage. And it was something that just became a challenge for me. I was a youthful Christian at that time. It was one that I just sort of thought almost the same thoughts that this man had. Should I just not even bother coming back to this church, going somewhere else? And yet there was a part of me that said that I needed to actually walk through this. I need to deal with this. Now, when it was expressed to me, in a sense, it wasn't as blatant. It was kind of hidden. I kind of dug it out, so to speak. I know that I have no control over people, places, and things, and what they, how they feel and what they do. What I do have control over is the decision I can make to either ask the Holy Spirit for help in this arena or not. And then, and if I, the or not is my flesh. And the or not means that I'm going to say, forget everything. I don't want to have anything to do with this church, that, you know, that pastor and this whole situation. And then I started thinking about situations that actually would, that I find where my wife is at fault, but that we're not going to go there. But that's where I want to go. See, I'm in fear. All of a sudden, everything is entangled and challenged in my life. Now, what I ended up doing is I finally reached out and talked to another man. I talked to another pastor, one that I trusted. And I just asked him simply, what do I do in this situation? And he said, you know what? You pray for your wife. There are things that between the two of you that need to be drawn closer together. And you know what? I didn't do that right away. I did not follow a direction. I wanted to stew about this. I wanted to be upset. I wanted to tell him, why does he, you know, hey, why do you, you know, I did absurd thinking, is I guess what I'm saying. So in turn, what I ended up, what I believe needs to take place here, brother, is that no, you don't need to run away from this situation. I think in a sense that the fact that you've been given this, that your wife loves you enough to be able to actually disclose this to you, I think that she's actually reaching out in a certain way of asking you to, maybe you need to take a look at some of the areas in your relationship with her where maybe you've fallen short. Maybe there's something that's taking place that she just senses and she is wanting more of you. Okay? So, you know, that there are questions I wanted to almost ask him to be able to get clarification.
Of course.
So that's where I'm going to go right now with that.
Okay. Well, and I think, and speaking out of your own personal experience, yeah, I think that's very helpful. Here's what I would say to this man. One of the first things I would do, and he doesn't need to tell his wife this if he doesn't choose to or it's inappropriate. The caution is that he doesn't shame his wife and make her feel mm-hmm. like she's doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. These feelings have come upon her. They're a delusion. They're a lie from Satan.
Yes.
She's never seen that pastor when he wakes up in the morning and his hair's messed up and he hasn't brushed his teeth. She's never sat down with that pastor and had to figure out how they're going to pay the bills this month when there's not quite enough money. Mm-hmm. She's never seen him sitting in his chair eating potato chips when he should be out mowing the lawn. Mm-hmm. There's a certain delusion. She right. sees him. He's got the word of God. He's always dressed nicely. He's on his best behavior. So she's not really seeing the pastor for who he is. She's seeing a delusion of something that she wants. But, and I've had a lot of experience in this arena, having been a pastor for many, many years and having dealt with probably thousands of pastors during those years. But the first thing he should do is he should go and speak to that pastor. Mm-hmm. He should take him aside and he should tell the pastor exactly, listen, pastor, my wife has disclosed to me that she has a crush on you. She's very attracted to you. And I'm coming to you as one brother to another, just to let you know that I now know about this and I'm going to be praying about it and I'm going to be confident that you in your pastoral role will also be sensitive to this. And the reason he needs to go to that pastor and speak to him face to face, man to man, is because there is a spiritual chemistry that is borderline sensual that comes right out of the pits of hell. And it is a strong delusion. Mm. And that pastor, unknowingly, based upon his own ego needs and his own difficulties in his own marriage, because trust me, his wife does see him when he gets up in the morning and his hair's not combed and his teeth aren't brushed and his shorts are lying in the middle of the bedroom floor. His wife does know how he responds when there's not enough money to pay the bills. She sees him through an entirely different lens. If he has problems in his marriage and we have this spiritual chemistry going on between he and somebody else, and it's not as if he sets out to invite it, but once it happens, it is such a powerful drug to the emotions. It creates a delusion, and a kind of intoxication. And this is frequently how people end up in problematic situations that they didn't intend and did not think they would go that far. Mm-hmm. So, number one, he needs to go to the pastor, have a man-to-man talk. Mm-hmm. And that, you know what? When you drag these things into the light,
that's right,
it kills them.
That's right.
Absolutely kills them. And it puts that pastor on notice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to you. You're the pastor. I'm the man. I'm coming to you, and I'm saying I'm a man, and this is what's going on. And basically, I'm drawing the line, and I'm saying, Pastor, I'm going to support you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to honor you. But here's a line. Don't you cross it.
Right.
Because if you do, you're going to have to deal with me. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the kind of man Jesus was. Mm-hmm. Jesus was not this soft, mamby-pamby, milquetoast kind of individual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is Jesus turning the tables over in the temple. This is Jesus saying to the Pharisees, you know, this is what's going to happen to you. The second thing is he should not shame his wife. He should not make her feel guilty or flawed because she's had these feelings. Mm-hmm. They've come upon her. She was open enough to share them. She's just simply saying that as a human being, as mm-hmm. a female, this is pretty electric stuff. Mm-hmm. I see something there, and it's very attractive to me. Mm-hmm. The third thing he should do is be secure in his manhood. Now is the time to man up.
Yep.
Now is the time to work. Don't work on your wife. Work on your own spiritual manhood. Mm-hmm. You pray in the morning before you leave for work. You rattle the rafters. Find a room and just lift your voice to God. And I want to encourage every man to do this.
Yes.
Find a room in your house. Lift your voice to God. So, and you're not doing this so the people in your house can hear you. You're doing this out of a heart for God.
Yes.
But there's something when a man rattles the rafters in the morning, and his children, they know his dad's up there praying. His wife knows that dad is up there praying.
Mm.
There is an ingredient that is poured out on that man, his life, and his home.
Yes.
This is absolutely, I think, one of the most powerful things a man can do.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about Elijah today, and he was up and he was down.
Mm.
And that's the story of every man. But it doesn't matter whether you're up or whether you're down. Rattle the rafters in the morning.
Mm.
Let the world, the flesh, the devil, let them all know that you've already decided here at the outset, at the beginning of this day, that as a man you are going to walk with God.
Yes. Yes.
I'll tell you, women find that attractive,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a man who knows who he is, where he's going, and what he's about spiritually is very attractive.
Right.
And that's really what she's probably reaching for. Now, there are so many other areas that beyond that, but that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't attack your wife. Don't make her feel flawed, or she's just sharing her true life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to that pastor. Break that. If there is any kind of spiritual dynamic, break it by confronting it, and then just tune up your own spiritual life. Don't try to be a pastor. And I want to say to this, brother, don't go to seminary.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go down that road.
Yeah.
Just be who you are, but be strong in the Lord
yes.
and in the power of his might.
Amen. Some good stuff. And, man, I should have listened to you back at that time when I was going through that. But anyway, we're going to come back and we're going to get right into a little bit about what James talks about, and that's Elijah. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me, and we are just, we're going to kind of just try to put some more dressing on this thing of the book of James. James is kind of, he has always hit me between the eyes every time I read this book. It always comes through. There always seems to be something that I either missed or don't remember ever reading. Or sitting there and saying, oh, man, look at this. This is brand new. And I know, and I have it underlined. I'm going, somebody underlined it. It was, you know, it wasn't anybody else. I'm the only one that reads this thing. But you know what? I think today we're in that arena. This is after actually taking a look at maybe where we actually reach out to others to come together, knowing that we're not alone, in a sense. And so how do you want to kick this thing off, brother?
Well, I want to start by reading a passage here in the book of James. Now, James has confronted us with the issues of our anger. Mm-hmm. He's taught us that the righteous life that God desires mm-hmm. can't come about by this explosive emotions. He's taught us that, you know, the tongue is a powerful member. The things we say are going to either bring blessing or going to create great difficulties in our lives. I mean, he's confronted us with what it means to, you know, submit to God, to resist the devil, to purify our hearts, basically to bring our lives under God's government. Mm-hmm. If I had to say, you know, what does the book of James, you know, in a sentence, what's it about? Mm-hmm. I'd say to men, it's about bringing our lives under the rule and the reign of Christ, to be patient when we don't get our way, mm-hmm. to trust God. But now as we come down to the end of the book of James, so to speak, as he brings the plane in for a landing, listen to what the scripture says. And obviously this is to men and women, teenagers, boys and girls. But today for our benefit, we are thinking and speaking like men mm-hmm. and to men. You know, every once in a while, my wife will say to me, do you guys really think like that? And sometimes I'm afraid to answer.
Yeah. It's a trick question.
That's a trick She's question. Like, yeah. That's right. But today we're thinking and we're speaking like men. So hear the word of the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now listen to verse 17. Elijah was a man just like us. Hmm. Now James goes on and talks about Elijah prayed and there was no rain, mm-hmm. and then he prayed and there was rain. But you notice in this passage here, beginning in the 13th verse, the different conditions that Christian brothers can find themselves in. They can find themselves in trouble, James says. They can find themselves in moments when they're happy. If you're in trouble, you should pray. If you're happy, you should sing songs of praise. They can find themselves sick. And if they're sick, they should call for the elders of the church for prayer. But if you're sick, that you're not sick all the time. That means other times you're well. And then they can find themselves, if they sin, confess your sins. So we have these. So we're talking to Christian men, Raul.
Right.
Guys just like you and I. And it's easy to get the picture. And going back to this this brother who wrote in about his wife was enamored with the pastor. When you see that guy in the pulpit every Sunday morning and you're seeing him for 30 minutes and maybe you see him at a meeting or two throughout the week, it just looks like he's got it together. And he doesn't have permission to get up on Sunday morning and say, you know, I have really had a crappy week. I mean, he can get away with that once in a while, maybe, but he can't get up week after week and talk about his ups and his downs and his low points and his high points. That's not his role there. He's there to teach the Word of God, to encourage people. But it's easy to get a misconception that for some people, life is just perfect.
Right.
And it really isn't. The amazing thing is you're going through the difficulties of life and you're looking at other people and you're thinking their life is just perfect. They never have any problems. And you know what? They're looking at you and they're saying, look at Raul and Debbie. Their lives are just perfect. They've got no problems. They just love the Lord. They're on the radio. They have ministry. They never have any challenges. Mm-hmm. And if I asked you honestly, is that the case?
Of course not.
Of course not. So there are times when we have trouble, times when we're happy, times when we're sick, times when we sin.
Right.
And James acknowledges that, and he tells us specifically what to do. And then he says, and Elijah was a man just like us. So even this great historical biblical character out of the Old Testament, we're going to talk about him a little bit this morning. He had his ups and his downs. So here's my question for you, Raul. What are you going to do this week when you hit the highs and lows that come into everybody's life?
That's a good question.
It's a very good question.
Well,
okay, but let's freeze this frame for a minute, because here's the thing. It's easy to talk about April 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th because it's already happened.
Right.
And we spend a good part of our lives focusing backwards. And you know what? We can't change anything about that.
That's right.
But the battle for men is not what happened yesterday.
That's right.
The battle is putting on the whole armor of God.
That's right.
And being prepared for what's going to happen today, tomorrow, the next day. And the wise man who has looked ahead and has already prepared himself, chances are he's going to do a lot better in that battle than somebody else. So let me rephrase that. So this week, when something really positive happens to you, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to thank the Lord first.
Okay, you're going to start by worshiping and praising Him.
That's it, giving Him thanks.
Okay, and are you going to keep it all to yourself?
Absolutely not. I share that sort of thing with others so that they see what God is actually doing in my life and how I'm blessed, especially from when maybe I was not feeling blessed earlier or previously.
Okay, so you're going to share the good news of what God is doing in your life with others. Now, when you tell me that, that's going to encourage me and strengthen my faith, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. What are you going to do at a low point when you're in trouble?
Well, I actually been doing this a lot more lately, following what the Word tells me, is I say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I really try to go there. It's hard sometimes, especially when it strikes deep, deep and affects my life. It's hard for me to sit there and say, thank you, Lord. I want to go back to the way I used to, saying, why is this happening to me? You know, why are you allowing this to take place? I thought I'd been doing what I need to be doing, and all of a sudden, this.
So I just heard you say that in days past when trouble came, you spent a good time asking God why it happened to you.
Exactly.
Did you think you were better than everybody else?
Uh, You know what? There might have been a part of where that did take place.
Did you think that somehow being a Christian was going to exempt you from problems like everybody else has?
Yeah, I think there are times when I think that, okay, come on, I should not have to worry about this right now.
So,
or deal with it.
Do you think, so when we ask the why question, do we think that what we're really saying is, God, I don't deserve this after all I've done for you?
Pretty much. That's okay. Where it comes down to, yeah.
Okay, but the trouble comes anyway.
It does.
That's right.
It's going to continue to come.
That's
so
right.
In hindsight, that's where I think, that's why I say thank you for me being able to look back and see where the challenges were and where I was at, where I faltered, so to speak. Okay, now that didn't come because I sat there long enough and thought about it long enough. That came as a result of me talking with others and sharing their experiences. And then when you talk about it, all of a sudden you come to realize that, man, I didn't realize that's exactly what I was doing.
So all of the prophets were tested. Their faith was tested. Mm-hmm. I mean, Job was tested. Peter, James, John. I mean, everybody gets tested.
Right.
We got John on the Isle of Patmos. And, you know, I mean, everybody gets tested. So the real question, frankly, is we say, why me? And God's saying back to us, well, why not you?
Exactly.
Why are you different than anybody else? Yeah. And James just will not let us off the hook. He said, you know, don't think it's strange. Or Peter, don't think it's strange when these fiery trials come. And James won't let us off the hook. He said, you know, when you're tested, when you persevere.
Right.
So it's going to happen.
Yes.
But I just heard you say an important thing. When you're happy or something good happens to you, you praise God and you tell others.
Yes.
But I also heard you say, and you correct me if I misunderstood, when something negative happens to you, you are learning how to thank God in all things, which aligns you with Scripture,
right.
But that also in that moment, you are also speaking to others.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, whether it's good or bad, you're sharing, you're reaching out to the people around you.
Absolutely. I've learned that by keeping things in, thinking I don't need to share it for whatever reason, whether it's shame or, you know, just admitting that I did something wrong, that just puts a heaviness on me. That keeps something inside me. It's like the ballast in a ship. It's all of a sudden I fill up one side and I start walking kind of awkwardly or acting awkwardly. Now, no different here. If there is a challenge in my life, when I can bring that out with those that I trust, I no longer give it the power that I have given it before to affect my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually, like we've talked about before, bringing it into the light, out of the darkness, because truthfully, it is in darkness. Sometimes I think, I know what I used to do at times before is bring out a little bit at a time, just to kind of just ease my life a little bit, you know? Back to the ballast of the ship, you know, it helps keep a ship balanced. And if I let out a little bit more or bring in a little whatever, all of a sudden it starts to give it a little bit of ease, you know, so that I can get by. Used to do that all the time. But you know what? Life in itself, and then the times that the enemy attacks, all of a sudden it becomes overwhelming. And guess what ends up happening? It's like a percolator, man. And all of a sudden it's like somebody put a lid on this thing, turned up the heat on this, and about ready to explode. And all I need is one little thing to all of a sudden, boom, and I don't want to go there anymore.
And that's the result of keeping all of that in and trying to deal with it completely on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I crossed paths this week with a gentleman who attends Band of Brothers on a regular basis, and he told me, he said, you know, I sit down at my computer late in the night, and I go to the website, faithplace.org, and I turn on the Band of Brothers and I listen to that day's program. Mm. And sometimes I'll go back and I'll listen to other programs that have encouraged me in the past.
Yeah.
So as we're speaking right now to each other, we're really talking to that man.
Absolutely.
And we're talking to other men.
Absolutely.
And they're tuning in here because I don't know about you, but in those moments, I'm reaching out for something to strengthen me, something to help me, something to comfort me, something to guide me.
Yes.
And James does that here in Scripture. He's giving us a blueprint for how to navigate through life's problems. And contrary to what other people are preaching or teaching, James is making it clear, if you're a Christian man, you're going to have moments of trouble. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that he has left you. It doesn't mean that he has forsaken you. What that simply means is that we're still living this life in a battle between, and some people have lost sight of this, but we're in a battle between evil that is present in the world and the kingdom of God, the righteous rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And so as we navigate through, we're going to have high moments, we're going to have low moments. And after the break, we're going to see what happened to Elijah.
That's right. And when, brother, if you're in trouble, if you're happy, if you're sick, and if you're a sinner, brother, like the rest of us, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Producers waving at me, come on, come on, come on. I'm getting into the music once again. My name is Raul, and I've got in the studio with me Steve, and we are actually been talking about chapter 5 of the book of James, and, you know, on that prayer of faith, you know. And I tell you what, I kind of just teased it a little bit, said, hey, man, if you're in trouble, if you're happy, if you're sick, or if you're a sinner, stay tuned. I kind of like that. I might have to use that every time I go off on a break.
That's good. It works.
It applies to all of us, doesn't it?
It works.
All right. Well, brother, what do you think here? Where should we go here? We talked about Elijah a little bit.
Well, and, I think this is a powerful insight for men in chapter 5, verse 17, when it says, Elijah was a man just like us. You know, one of the challenges that we face as men is that sometimes we feel like we're flawed or we're broken beyond repair. We're keenly aware of our own battles and struggles and what goes on in our hearts and minds. And I want to say, Raul, that's not just Christian men.
That's right.
Christian men are way better off in this arena than guys who don't know Christ.
That's right.
I mean, you look at that guy at work who has a huge ego and he's, you know, maybe has the position and the power. I guarantee you part of his internal struggle is his challenge with whether he's flawed or broken or what he's trying to overcome. So this isn't something that jumps on you when you become a Christian. Actually, when you become a follower of Christ, you now have the power to identify with someone who can help you through this struggle.
Amen.
And but Elijah was a man just like us. It's important because we think sometimes, just like the woman at the beginning of our discussion today, mm-hmm. sometimes we think sometimes that other people are different.
Yes.
And they're not. We are all made out of the same thing. And we're all susceptible to the same kinds of problems and difficulties, but also the same kinds of joy and victory. Right. So Elijah was a man just like us. And James says he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crop. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now here's, James connects these statements. Mm-hmm. He's telling us that there are moments when high points and there are low points. I mean, think about Elijah back in chapters in the book of 1 Kings, back in chapter 18 and 19. And I'm just going to quickly summarize this and then I'm going to ask you a question. But Elijah, Ahab becomes the king, and he's an evil individual. And so God's going to show his power. And Elijah declares to Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3.5 mm-hmm. years. Elijah goes, and he's by the brook, and the ravens feed him. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he encounters Ahab again, and he says, okay, I challenge you. You get all the false prophets of Baal. Right. We're going to meet over here on the top of the mountain. The false prophets have their sacrifice, and they pray, and they carry on, and they go through their ritual. Elijah said, whichever God answers by fire, let him be God. Of course, nothing happens. But then Elijah, he's going to pray, and he's going to pray a very brief prayer. He's going to pour water on the sacrifice. This is going to be a miracle. But Elijah says something in chapter 18, verse 22. He said, I'm the only one of God's prophets left. Now, this is what he thinks. Now, it's not true,
right?
But God's going to work through him. So Elijah prays, and the fire falls, and it burns up the sacrifice. Then Elijah gets down, and he prays again that it would rain. And there's that moment where he sends his servant to look seven times, and each time he prays. And that's another subject for another day. But he prays, and it rains. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this. This would be like winning the spiritual Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is like high fives all the way around.
Right.
I mean, you just dealt with the king, and you just got fire from heaven, and God's on your side. I mean, it's an amazing moment.
Right.
Ahab's wife, Jezebel, hears about it. And she says, I'm going to put an end to this Elijah. Now, you would think, after that kind of experience, that Elijah would stand up and tell her what she could do with that kind of attitude.
Right.
But you know what the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 3? Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. So we go from the high point to the low point.
Right.
You're in ministry, Raul. You're leading hundreds of men. I know you. I know your heart. Has that ever happened to you? Did you go from? I mean, and I'm not talking about in the past. I'm talking about right now in the here.
Yeah.
Because James isn't dealing what's happened with men in the past. He's saying today, guys.
Yes.
Today. This is, if you're in trouble, pray. Right. If you're happy, sing.
Right.
If you're sick, get the elders. So, what happens? What's your experience when you go from a high point to a low point? And then I want to hear the experience, and then I want to ask you what you do.
You know, one of the things that first I got to say, I love it, because when you were sitting here talking about Elijah, and when he said that, well, he didn't say anything. He got up and ran. He was afraid and ran. I so totally understand that. And I sat there and I looked right in at my book that I have opened here, and it says, Elijah was a man just like us. And I'm going, okay, praise God. I so often have been at that place where I've seen and been able to be in a position of being honored to minister to somebody and watch them break free of something that has been binding them for so long. And then talk about the hallelujah and the high five and say, praise God, et cetera, et cetera. And the very next morning, this was at night, the very next morning, it's like, I am just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I just can't do this anymore. I mean, I was listening to the lies that were coming into my head. And there's a part of me, and my wife, she certainly understands a Wednesday morning around here for me. She gives me all kinds of grace. She tries to, you know, get me excited about life, or just allows me space, either way, whatever the case may be. But I have been at that place, the high fives, like you said, the Super Bowl, and then the very next day, all of a sudden, it's like, what happened, you know?
Well, I know you're going to agree with this, as Scripture agrees with this, and we dealt with this same symptom in David's life here a couple of months ago, but our most vulnerable moments, and I say this to preachers all the time, your most vulnerable moment isn't before you go and preach that great sermon.
That's right.
Your most vulnerable moment isn't leading up to the event itself.
That's right.
Because in that moment, you're focused.
That's right.
You're reaching out to God. Your most vulnerable moment is when it's over because there's something about us emotionally we just let down, and the enemy takes his best shot.
Yeah.
Maybe someday we'll talk about this, but part of that is because we still are doing much of our ministry out of our human strength and giftedness, and we're working in our emotions leading up to the event, when we ought to be learning more and more how to move in the Spirit, which are two different things, but that's a subject for another day. But if you'll notice in 1 Kings chapter 19, what you said is exactly what Elijah said. Verse 4, he went himself a day's journey in the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down underneath it, and prayed that he might die. And listen to what he says. I have had enough.
Yeah. I have read the story, but that wasn't what I was thinking about.
Well, here's what happens.
Right.
And this is going to happen. So the men that are listening to us, you go to Band of Brothers on a Tuesday night. You have a great night. God moves, touches your life, encourages you. You get up on a Wednesday morning, and there's some negative email. There's some negative phone call. There's some Jezebel type voice that threatens you. And all of a sudden it's like the victory leaks out and you're just completely deflated and you feel like giving up. You feel like giving in. And Elijah, he was so confused. You know, at one point he said, Lord, I'm the only one. And the Lord said, Elijah, you are not the only one. I have 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to Baal. But isn't that the way we frequently feel isolated and we feel like we're the only one that's going through this?
Absolutely.
But it's just not true.
That terminal uniqueness will get me every time.
Oh, yes.
We'll come right back on from the break and talk about how unique we're not. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and excuse me for ever clearing my throat on the microphone at times, but I forget that I'm in a radio station sometimes, or on the radio, and there I am clearing it once again. So, but anyway, you know, I talked about, just before we left, about being unique and how uniqueness can actually work against me, in a sense. You know, there's one of the things that it talks about in Scripture that we go through a temptation and that we think it is unique to us and that nobody else has ever felt this. Nobody else has ever gone through this. But it goes on to say that God is faithful, that He will show us a way out. You know what? There are times I want to be unique. I want to be indifferent. But that's more of a prideful thing, in a sense, I believe, for me. And what I end up doing is realizing that I am not unique. And the more that I hang around other brothers, it doesn't matter who they are and where they're from, I come to find out that I'm not so unique. And just as you were talking about here, as James shared here, that Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah.
Yes.
You know, oh my gosh. You know?
Yes. But he didn't think he was. He thought he was the only one.
Exactly.
He thought he was the only one. He has this moment. He's down. He's depressed. God comes and the angel of the Lord touches him and strengthens him, and he moves forward until he comes to a new geographic location at Horeb. But quickly here, he tells the Lord he was very jealous and he wants to hear from the Lord. And the Lord says, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says there was a great and powerful wind that tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then there was a great earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a gentle whisper. And then listen to this, verse 13, when Elijah heard it.
Yes.
So here's the thing. He was a man just like us. We're looking for this drama going on around us. We want God to shake the earth. But so often, a man simply needs to get quiet before God and just listen in his heart. It's the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit. And if Elijah could hear it, so can you and I.
And it's actually disciplining ourselves to do God's will. And part of his will for us is to come to know him even more. And when I can get myself, drum up all of that I can within me to say, okay, let me go to my knees and thank him for this day. And let me hear what he has to say and spending that time with him. That is so important. That is something that I have found that my life has changed as a result of it. And yet, there are times when I want to believe, or not necessarily want to believe, I do believe the lies that come my way. And a lot of it is because he ends up, the enemy I'm talking about here, Satan, the devil, evil, mixes a little bit of truth with the lie.
Always.
And I end up listening a little bit more.
Always.
It's almost like salting the tongue a little bit. You know, you desire a little bit more. Okay, tell me more. Tell me more. What are you thinking? Now, I don't necessarily say that consciously, but all of a sudden I'm receiving it even more. And that is where all of a sudden the downfall begins once again, you know. But there is something that takes place when I can, if nothing else, I know I've done this for that helped relieve me. If I can't think of a prayer or a scripture, I just cry out the name of Jesus. There's something that's powerful in just that name alone that will actually be able to give me a little bit of encouragement and knowing that he is there. Any final words here, brother?
Well, we're all the same. We're all made out of the same stuff. Elijah was a man just like us. He had his ups and his downs, but because he listened to the voice of the Lord, in the end he triumphed, and he gave his ministry to somebody else who went on and did more than he did.
Amen.
So listen deeply. Rattle the rafters, men. Pray every morning.
And let me pray real quick. Father, thank you for this opportunity of being able to be with our brothers right now and sisters who are listening, Father. And I just pray your Holy Spirit upon their lives. Protect their hearts, Father, for you are the one that we seek. Brother, there is hope, and you are not alone.